It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just a heads up on our programming. President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden will meet in their final scheduled presidential candidate debate tomorrow night at 8. We'll bring you live NPR coverage of that debate at Belmont University in Nashville. That's live NPR coverage tomorrow evening at 8 on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. Right now, we're talking about third-party presidential candidates and the platform of the Libertarian Party. It's one of five parties on the ballot in Wisconsin, and we've extended invitations to all of them. What are your thoughts on third-party candidates? Do you vote for them? What do you want to know about the Libertarian Party? It's 800-642-1234. Spike Cohn is running for vice president as a Libertarian. His running mate, Joe Jorgensen, is running for president. Spike, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me on, Kate. Have a great good morning.
Good morning. So what brings you to this? Why are you running for vice president?
Well, Kate, Joe and I have seen what Republicans and Democrats have done with their exclusive control of government. They've used it to rob the American people of our power, of our freedom, and of our wealth. And it has led to the harmful and abusive and inequitable outcomes that we could expect from such an arrangement. We and the Libertarian Party believe that the American people do best when we are most free, when we are not being robbed, when we are not being subjugated, when we are not being put in cages for victimless crimes, when we are not having regulations drive up the cost of living and making it increasingly difficult for us to be able to live our lives. And that's what we're running on, taking that power and that freedom and that wealth back and giving it back to the people where it always belongs.
All right. So getting back to who the Libertarian Party is, the most prominent of third parties here in the U.S., but can you give us a little bit more of the stance of this party and its core values?
Sure, absolutely. Again, our core values are that we do best when we are most free. We have an arrangement in this country that is increasingly one based on central planning. It is based on very powerful people telling the rest of us how we should live and robbing us to pay for the cost of that subjugation. And to no one's surprise, that system is run by very large multi-billionaire cronies who buy and pay for their favorite politicians to be in office, so that they use that power to make sure that they stay enriched and that any potential competition is you know, snuffed out. And that if, we are basically required to be beholden to them and reliant on them. We didn't need a pandemic and lockdowns and all the other terrible things that have happened this year to tell us that this situation is abusive to the people and that it's not working, and that we will do far better when these systems of power are dismantled and the power is put back in the hands of the people.
You mentioned the pandemic, and there have been over 8 million cases in our country, over 200,000 deaths. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is just a major hotspot in the country. So what specific policies would Joe Jorgensen put in place to help mitigate this, help address the spread?
Well, we have to look at why this happened in the first place, why the U.S., why the pandemic is going so poorly here compared to pretty much every other developed country on Earth. For the first 2 months that the virus was here, the CDC and the FDA did not allow medical professionals to test COVID patients. We had American companies that were making approved COVID-19 test kits and having to sell all of them overseas because it was illegal for them to sell them here, and it was illegal for healthcare workers to be able to test patients. Now, what is it we hear every single day? That the most important way to slow the spread and to try to stop and contain this virus is to test as often as possible. And yet for 8 weeks, they didn't allow that to happen. That is precious time that was lost. Joe and I speak with healthcare workers, ER nurses, doctors, administrators every single day, and we hear the same thing over and over again. Our jobs are being made more difficult by government red tape and bureaucracy that doesn't allow us to do our jobs. Now, in the best of times, that leads to healthcare costs spiraling out of control and an increasing lack of affordable access to care. And in times like these, it means hundreds of thousands of lives lost. What Joe would do is completely dismantle that red tape, which not only contributes to 3/4 on every dollar that's being spent on healthcare, which, you know, getting rid of that red tape would lead to a massive reduction in costs, but it would also save lives. It would allow healthcare workers to actually be able to do their job without being so burdened by ridiculous red tapes and bureaucracy.
So looking at ways to prevent the spread, masks are the overriding way. George Jorgensen said, quote, "I think they should be mandated by whichever businesses would like to mandate them rather than have a government one-size-fits-all requirement let people make decisions." Can you explain the party's stance on mask mandates?
Well, here's the problem with a mandate, especially something like a mask mandate. You have the government that is telling everyone you have to wear a mask for your safety. And if you don't wear a mask for your safety, then we'll put you in a jail where you are almost assured to catch COVID-19 for your safety.
I don't know if you can get put in jail for not wearing a mask.
There have been situations where people have been threatened with jail time for not following mask and social distancing mandates. And we know from the data has showed us that the jail cells and correctional facilities are the places where people are the most likely to get COVID-19. Now, here's what it comes down to. We should be empowering people with information so that they can make the best choices for themselves. No less than the World Health Organization has come out saying that these, this idea of month-long lockdowns have been a complete and total failure. They've done nothing but cause increases in poverty, increases in depression, increases in rates of suicide, increases in rates of child malnutrition, things that all have higher rates of death than the actual virus itself. This virus is very serious. It is anywhere from, depending on who you ask, 20 to 50 times more deadly than the flu. This is a very serious thing, and we need to be taking it seriously. But we have seen that government will fail us. Government does not protect you. Government just makes your life more difficult. We should be empowering people to be making their own smart choices rather than trying to threaten people with more fines and jail time at a time when things are so difficult for them already.
We're talking with Spike Cohn, running for vice president on the Libertarian ticket. We're exploring third-party candidates, and we've extended invitations to them ahead of Election Day. What do you want to ask Spike Cohn about the platform of the Libertarian Party? Where do you see this party headed now and in the future? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Katie, who is joining us from Northwest Wisconsin, northwest part of the state. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just going to say my husband is a libertarian, but we aren't a fan of either party. But my bigger question is we would love to see Joe or Spike in a debate with the other presidential candidates. And when they're not even in the polls, I don't understand how they're supposed to get to 15% to be allowed in the debate and how that hurdle is broken for any third party candidate.
Katie, thanks for that. Spike, how do you feel about not being part of the presidential candidate debates?
Well, Katie, you're exactly correct. It would be great if we were in the debates. And we saw in that presidential debate why Joe wasn't allowed in. If a sane adult who was able to form a coherent sentence had been allowed on that debate stage, not only would the American people be voting Libertarian, but they'd probably never vote Republican ever again. She's exactly correct. Katie is exactly correct. They have done everything they can. Our debates are run by a system called the Commission on Presidential Debates, which is a cartel that is run by the Republicans and Democrats exclusively. They put in whatever restrictions they can to make sure that they are the only people on that debate stage so that they can continue with the false shell game narrative of telling the American people that they have only two choices to choose from. And it is why the American people are increasingly frustrated by their options. After the last debate, after the first debate, the presidential debate, CNN did a poll asking voters who they were more likely to vote for after watching that. 57% said neither. It is very clear that the American people are sick and tired of these options. And we think that the Commission on Presidential Debates should be disbanded. We think that an organization like the League of Women Voters should be put back in charge of the debate. And we should have more of a free and open market of debates to be able to have different options. Why are the American people, a nation of nearly 350 million people, being told that they have two options, which they almost universally find to be terrible, and that they just simply have to choose from those two?
Spike, I want to turn back to COVID that is surging in so many places, including our state. How would Joe Jorgensen get our country back on track economically? How do you stop the spread of this virus without causing our small businesses to go under, to go dark?
Absolutely. And as I said before, the the World Health Organization recently came out saying that the lockdowns were proposed to be a 2 or 3 week long measure to give governments and healthcare sectors time to rebalance their resources and be able to deal with this virus moving forward. The idea of continuing to lock down this economy and lock down the people is an utter failure. It has not slowed the spread. It has made people increasingly resistant to even voluntarily taking measures to slow the spread because they're just sick of this whole thing. It has caused massive increases in poverty, child malnutrition. It has caused, I have had people come to my rallies and to Joe's rallies who have said that they are unable to get cancer screenings right now because their state mandates that their hospitals will only be used for COVID-19 patients.
That's because there's such a
state,
there's such a surge. There aren't hospital beds for other
but here's,
patients.
But that's actually not true in many cases. And this is a perfect example of what happens with a state,
85% of hospital beds in Wisconsin are filled with COVID patients, and that's our Department of Health Services saying that.
Cancer has a higher rate of fatality than COVID-19. And there are parts of Wisconsin where it's not 85%. And yet the state is telling the entire state and all of the hospitals how to do treatment. This is a perfect example of how top-down planning kills people.
Spike
Allow
Cohen,
those hospitals to make those decisions for themselves.
Spike Cohen is on the ticket for the Libertarian Party in a bid for the presidency. We're talking with a third-party candidate 13 days before Election Day. Do you think third-party and independent candidates should get more time and attention in our dominant two-party system? What issues are most important to you as you consider who you'll vote for? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Spike Cohen here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with the Libertarian Party. Spike Cohen is running for vice president on the ticket. We're exploring his platform and the role of third-party candidates ahead of Election Day. There are five parties on the ballot in Wisconsin, and we've extended invitations to all of them. Let's take another call now. Leo is joining us from Janesville. Hi, Leo.
Hi. So I just had a question for the vice presidential candidate. What are like the libertarians or his view on like climate change, and how would they deal with it?
Go ahead, Spike.
That's an excellent question. Yeah, that's an excellent question, Leo. We see climate change, we see pollution as, simply put, it's just another form of an act of property damage that should be actionable in liability for the people that are causing it. Unfortunately, the federal government doesn't allow that. What the federal government does is create regulations which drive those large polluting companies, smaller competitors, out of business, leaving just the most polluting large companies left to do business. Then when those companies do damage to our environment, they indemnify them, protect them against lawsuits, with their justification being that if they had to actually pay for the damages they were causing, that they'd go out of business. And then finally, they externalize the cost of that cleanup. They make you, the taxpayer, pay for the cleanup of that sludge, to pay for the cleanup of those, you know, those leaks and those spills and environmental and health damage that it comes from as a result of it. They make you pay for the increasing carbon footprint that is coming as a result of it. And we're seeing that cronies, large polluting cronies, use the power of government to allow them to do whatever they want and externalize the cost of their cleanup on us. Now, we propose completely changing that. We propose, instead of this regulate and externalize model that benefits cronies and harms the rest of us, just the opposite. Empower the American people, allow them to be able to sue companies that cause proven demonstrable damage to the environment. So that the two things will happen there. Number one, the worst actors will be put out of business. So we won't have to worry about them anymore. And then the second thing that happens is that those companies will have to self-regulate if they want to remain in business, not because they suddenly become angelic figures, but because they don't want to lose everything. And when you empower the people to be able to go after go after the liability of those who are causing damage to them, in this case, environmental damage and health damage and property damage and so forth, then that solves that problem without having to regulate smaller businesses that weren't causing the pollution problem in the first place, causing them to cause that damage. Another big part of this is the regulations that have driven up the cost of doing business in America and hiring Americans and making things here, which is leading those large crony companies to have increasing number of things made in other countries and shipped over here, which exponentially increases the carbon footprint of the product that we're buying from them. Deregulating, putting the power back in the hands of the American people, is an incredible way of not just helping us economically, not just helping us in terms of jobs and wage growth, but also helping us environmentally.
Let's switch gears here and talk about the Black Lives Matter movement. George Floyd protests erupted and Black Americans are shot and killed by the police at a disproportionate rate to the rest of the population.
Yes.
What specific policies would Joe Jorgensen enact as president to address systemic racism and police brutality?
Absolutely. I have been to several Black Lives Matter rallies and I've spoken with the organizers there and I've spoken with the protesters there. And what I hear time and time again is the same thing, that they want bad actors in government to be accountable, that they want the disproportionate over-policing that is happening in their communities to end. And Joe Jorgensen's proposal is very simple. It's the Libertarian Party's proposal since we were founded in the 1970s. Number one, we end qualified immunity so that bad actors in government, when they do harm to the American people, they are held accountable for those actions, which we don't have right now. So we end qualified immunity. Number two, we end the war on drugs. The war on drugs, since its inception, has been disproportionately used to harm the most marginalized among us, including people of color and the poor. It has done nothing to actually curb addiction. It's actually done the opposite. It has led to more addiction. It has led to empowering criminal cartels by giving them, allowing them to corner the market on the sale on products, the same as during alcohol prohibition. So we end the war on drugs. We also look at some of the economic issues that are leading to these communities being so disproportionately harmed in the first place. We know that communities who do not have economic power do not have social power. You cannot one without the other. And so we have to look at things like occupational licensing laws. We have to look at things like zoning laws that disproportionately affect poorer communities who cannot afford the cost of entry to doing business. We need to get rid of bad regulations that are making it increasingly difficult for marginalized communities, poor communities, as well as communities of color, to be able to actually grow themselves economically so that they have more of an ability to have a say in their communities. We also need to decentralize policing. We need to allow communities to decide what they want their police and first response to look like instead of having states and the national government decide it for them.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Spike Cohn, who's running for vice president on the Libertarian ticket. We're learning about his platform on a range of issues, taking your questions for a third party candidate at 800-642-1234. Aaron's joining us from Menominee Falls now. Hi, Aaron.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Aaron.
How do we get the word of the Libertarian Party out there as a viable candidate when our system has been rigged for the two-party system, Republicans and Democrats?
That's an excellent question, and that's exactly correct. It has been rigged. We have to keep in mind that most major TV media is owned by six multinational, multi-billion dollar companies who have a vested interest in keeping this crony gravy train system running for them. We're not going to get equal treatment by an organization like that. We shouldn't expect it. And the short answer is we have to continue doing what we are doing. We have to continue at the grassroots level, reaching out to everyday people where they are in their spaces and understanding their issues and bringing them into the libertarian message. And that's where you come in. That is where the grassroots come in. Joe and I, in doing our bus tour, in touring around this country during a time when our opponents are increasingly hiding in their bunkers and basements while the people are on the streets demanding change. We're meeting them where they are, and we need others to do so as well. Online, in person, whatever you're comfortable with, to be able to reach out to others and share the message with them. What we're also doing is ad placement on streaming services. We are doing radio ads. We are doing advertising in any way we possibly can. We know that we are not going to get the outcomes that we want from the Republicrats. We know that Joe Biden, the architect of every bad policy to come out of D.C.
Okay.
in the last 50 years. Go ahead.
I want to make sure that we save time here for John in Chippewa Falls is next. John, go ahead.
Hello. I warned people a long time ago, 3-4 years ago, about what a danger Donald Trump was. And there were a lot of people that voted for the third party candidate. And what a disaster this has turned out to be. So I just like to know your opinion on how that has affected the election, and the danger still exists today.
Spike.
Well,
Cohn,
Donald Trump is simply the most recent and most brutal enforcer of Democrat and Republican policies. I mean, if you look at the things that Donald Trump is enforcing that everyone hates, it's the policies that Joe Biden has been one of the architects of for the last 50 years. They are the same organization. And we saw that during the debates. They didn't have any real difference between them. They just argued over which one was the bigger jerk. And
okay, so I want to ask one more policy question here, or one more pressing question here, so we can get away from some name calling. President Trump says a COVID vaccine is imminent. How hands-on would Joe Jorgensen, the Libertarian Party, be in deciding who is first in line, and would Americans be required to get vaccinated?
Well, we think that obviously the first in line are going to be the most likely to, you know, die as a result of it. The most vulnerable communities are always the first in line to get any kind of vaccine or anything like that. In terms of a mandate, we don't believe that government should be mandating what you can and can't put in your body. And especially if you're talking about a vaccine that more than likely will have only been around for a handful of months and will not have been subjected to years of safety testing. We think people should be able to make an informed consent about what they put in their body.
Spike, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Spike Cohn is running for vice president on the Libertarian ticket. Just ahead, we speak with candidates in the race for Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.